epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Josh Briscoe comes our way next segment. Rob, there's Travis Kelce Appreciation Day. They had a Rob Britton Appreciation Day yet? No?
I don't believe they have.
They haven't.
Yeah. I don't know why Fesco and Dusty haven't done that yet.
No. They're doing Kelce. Why would they do him before you?
That's a really good question. I guess you'd have to wait. You don't really have a cutesy name like 87 for me. I don't really wear a number back here. That's probably the reason.
Are you looking for that steakhouse that he and Mahomes have? I bet it's got some. I bet it's nice and.
Is that ever going to open?
I bet it's like, nice and cheap too, right?
I feel like we've heard about that steakhouse for like 3 years. I feel like it's an idea at this time.
Yeah, it's going to be soon, buddy.
It's mostly renderings at this point.
Well, I'm sure you'll get your invite in the mail and you'll try it out. You'll tell us how good the damn steaks were.
I'll have a couple of paychecks to stash away. Who needs a mortgage when you can have a steak?
That's right. That's right. Who needs one? You going out to the K this weekend?
See Royals in Cleveland? Not this weekend. I will be seeing them on Tuesday next week against the Braves. So not against Cleveland, but I am heading to the Cave shortly to see the old boys in blue play some baseball.
I mean, you think about the Braves and Yost and Dayton Moore, Francoeur. I mean, all those connections to the Braves the Royals had. But Cleveland this weekend is interesting to me. I was out there for a couple games when they played the Mets, and it's kind of wanted to relive that 2015 series a little bit. But the Royals, to me, are extremely frustrating. Again, you strive so hard to be elite at something in professional sports, and they are. Again, they're number two in all of baseball in team ERA. When you combine the starters and relievers, number two. Number two in the American League. As far as just starters, how good are just the starters? How about third in Major League Baseball? Number two in the American League. That's how good their starters have been. Three and two. Major League Baseball, then AL. Relievers, they're back to ninth in all of Major League Baseball. In Cleveland, they face tonight, has moved their way up to eighth in Major League Baseball, but they're fifth in the American League at relievers. So basically what I'm saying is, get them in a short series, they could do damage. And that's the frustrating part. It's like you can see the finish line. You can see the finish line. You can see the third wild card. You say, oh, man, the Royals just right there, man. They just need to put a streak together and go. And then they don't. And that's the frustrating part about it. But you can see it. And they're doing this. And, again, look at the starters' ERA. Look at the starters, the whole team ERA being two in baseball with Reagan's being shelved. And now Lorenzen's on the shelf. Well, it took guys like Chris Bubich, you know, to be good this year to help that out. It took taking a guy that was a rookie, a Noah Cameron, that's been phenomenal for this team to be good. And, yeah, that's even sprinkling in an over-the-hill guy like Dick Mountain, Rich Hill, at 45 years old. And I say that because that is his nickname, and that is what he wore on the back of his church shirt during Players Weekend, which is incredible. And that's actually a shirt that I want, to be honest. That's a jersey I want because he did wear that on Players Weekend, and that's fantastic. Rich Hill should be celebrated for what he did. But that was the game where the Royals had the dog in Chicago. They go into the Cubs, man. They go into Wrigley. That was the number one team in baseball record-wise when they first got there. And they beat them 2 out of 3. And not only that, they kicked their ass for 2 of those 3 games. Now, that one in the middle, they didn't. They got schooled. They got no hit, perfect game through 5. I mean, it wasn't good for them. But that was kind of what the microcosm, what the first half of the season's been. but the hitting's been coming around. This team's hitting the ball better since the All-Star break. Matter of fact, they have 12 home runs since the All-Star break, and they've only played the Marlins and the Cubs. That's it. They had 4 2-run home runs the last game against the Cubs. That tied a franchise record. Oh, they're hitting the ball. Salvador Perez is, what, hitting 367 the last 13 games? I mean, his last 13 games, nobody's been hotter in baseball. Dude has 9 home runs in his last 13 games, 13 ribs. He's got 19 freaking hits in his last 13 games. The Royals as a whole, they're 11-7 since July started. So they have been playing better baseball. But it's a little damage. It just catches you. It hooks you. You think, are you expecting different results? You're watching every night. It's insanity. You're watching it, the definition of insanity, because you're expecting different results. It's the same thing. But to be honest with you, the hitting's been good. And not only that, it's created the front office some confusion. Do you make a move or not? The Maikel Garcia was a deal today too, Rob, that was kind of a hot name right earlier. Who was it that put it out there?
The Athletic floated out a hypothetical trade where the Yankees would receive Garcia and the Royals would receive Jason Dominguez.
Which is a very, very average player. Young, 22, but he averaged.
I'm happy that trade didn't happen because after the Athletic posted that, you know, trades to keep an eye on article, like the Yankees then turned around and traded for Ryan McMahon
of the Rockies.
So I'm happy.
So that's done. That third baseman done.
The Athletics buzz around maybe trading Garcia. I'm happy that dissipated quickly. I was worried about that.
Well, that's not going to happen. What about Lugo? And there's been difference of opinion. I'm of the thought that you trade Lugo, and I get it. He's going to have a club option at the end of the year. He's going to decline that. It'll be a free agent. I get it. Do you need that to be a piece to get into the postseason? And I think yes. You take him out of that starting rotation, it changes. Do I consider it a white flag? I do. Do I think the organization sees that way? Who knows? I mean, do you want to see, you know, Dallas Keuchel being called up here, Kyle Wright, these guys? You already got Rich Hill up here. I mean, what do you want to see if you get rid of Lugo? Because I think when you trade Lugo, you put the white flag out. And this team doesn't want to see it. I mean, Vinny and these guys, they don't want to see him go. I mean, can you get into the dance? That's the question. All you have to do is get into the dance. You know, someone asked me the other day on the text line, he said, well, what's the track record of having a third wild card? Well, 2 years ago, the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series. The Rangers won the World Series. They were the number 2 wild card, and they were barely not the third wild card. They only got it by one game. The Diamondbacks were the third wild card team. So the World Series was comprised of end-of-the-list wild card teams. Again, just get to the dance. Get to the postseason and see what happens. That's all you need to do. Lugo, you would have to probably move a Blake Mitchell. You would probably have to move a Carter Jensen with him. Because what are you going to get in return? What are teams willing to pay for rental? Because that's what Lugo would be. He'd be a 2-month rental because he's not getting up probably signing with a team that trades for him. And are you really getting something? Are you getting kind of a 4-way player or a 4A player that's going to be back in Kansas City? He'll come up here, bat 176, and be sent back to AAA. Is that the guy you want? Do you really think you could get something tangible for Lugo without paying the king's ransom with some of your prospects?
I think you can get rid of maybe this is where I'm looking at Lugo different than you. I have literally no problem throwing a prospect into that deal sans Carter Jensen. Carter Jensen should stay in the organization. Everyone else should be available for trade.
Over Blake.
Oh, I would send Blake immediately. If the Cubs called tomorrow and they said, hey, you give us Blake Mitchell and Seth Lugo and we'll give you Owen Cassie, I don't know how to pronounce that, the top prospect of the Cubs' name, he's an outfielder, I would do it in a heartbeat. I do think, you're right, I think Seth Lugo alone is not going to bring you a massive controllable haul. I think you're going to have to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Could have to be.
But the Royals have, what, 3 catching prospects? As I mentioned, Carter Jensen, who I wouldn't trade.
From Port Hill.
Blake Mitchell, who's in high A right now, who I would trade. And Ramon Ramirez, who I also believe is in high A right now, who I would trade as well. You're not going to be able to carry 3-4 catching players on the roster at a time. So I would be willing to give Lugo and a prospect to the Cubs or the Red Sox for a controllable outfielder because I think you would have the best outcome. So I agree with you on the whole. Lugo alone isn't bringing anything more than just, you know, hopefully a guy that you think with your system you can make a player, but it's, you know, a guy who's blocked somewhere. But if you sweeten the pot, I think you can get something serious, and I am willing to sweeten the pot if I'm the Royals, because the way I look at it is we are 3 months away from Seth Lugo not being a Royal anyway. So you might as well get what you can in return.
Will his last start be in Kansas City, or has it already been made?
I think he's supposed to start Tuesday, right?
I think so.
And that's where the schedule lines up. I think he will make that start. I think he will be traded on deadline day. I think the Royals are waiting as long as they can to get that move done.
Which is why I think this series against Cleveland is so important. I mean, it really is. The Royals were in second place. Now Cleveland is. Cleveland started playing some better baseball. They're in there. The Royals are throwing out Waka. They're throwing out Bubich. And they're throwing out Noah Cameron. I mean, that's three viable pitchers going back to back to back. You get this series, not only is it important because it's, and I get it, people, you know, laugh all the time, it's the most important series of the year. I actually think this is because divisional opponent, and not only that, but the trade deadline, 6 games before that. Where can you position yourself? Can you actually look at it and think, all right, there's a chance to make the postseason. You're throwing out some of your best here this weekend against a divisional rival in Cleveland, but you go and get spanked by Cleveland this series, start warming up the fat lady, man. Start warming her up. Because Cleveland's sitting with 51 and 51. The Royals 50 and 53. And Royals a game and a half back from Cleveland now. As far as the wild card standing, it's Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox. Boom, 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 1, 2, and 3. Then it's Rangers, 1.5 back. The Rays, 1.5 back. Cleveland, 3. Then the Kansas City Royals, 4.5. Again, the Royals go out and win 2 of 3, even a sweep, but you don't call for sweeps. But for some reason they did, and they can position themselves tied with and or ahead of Cleveland this weekend. That bodes well, and that may change things. That may change things for the outlook of going into the game with the series with Atlanta Braves. Atlanta Braves are 44 and 57. Very winnable team for the Kansas City Royals to beat them. The Atlanta Braves are 4 and 6 in their last 10 games. So, yeah, get through Cleveland. Then the Atlanta series starts to matter, right? Because right before that trade deadline, we'll talk to Vern at 4 o'clock about possibly what the Kansas City Royals can do. But coming up next, back to talking Kansas City Chiefs with a guy that will be on the show each and every week and something else that was announced last week, Josh Briscoe.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton producing the operation. One guy that you'll hear a lot each and every week this year, plus you'll hear him maybe doing something else as well that I'll mention in a second. Let's welcome Joshua Briscoe. What's up, Joshua?
Hey, Bink, I am in a good mood, not just because of what you are alluding to, although that's certainly having to do with it. We've also got a little training camp action, some things to react to, some things to overreact to. It's a good time of year, my friend.
No, it is. And congratulations to you. Not only do you come on here on all the different shows, Josh, but also the network now, as far as the pre, the halftime, the post, and all that with the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll be doing that as well. So congratulations to you. A lot of hard work went into that. You're the perfect dude for this spot. It's going to be fun. Just those ears listening to you driving in the Arrowhead Stadium or driving around with those last-minute snacks or whatever, hearing you talking to Mitch and Dana and Kling and everything from all over the place, man. It's going to be fun, man. Congrats, buddy.
Thank you very much. That is very kind of you. I am very excited. It is certainly still pretty surreal to be stepping into some massive, massive shoes there. But again, if I needed any other reason to be excited for this season, that would get it done. Well, I'm, again, honored to be in that spot. Really excited to start breaking that down with that first preseason game. That's just right around the corner.
Yeah, it's not like you're with the Cardinals, the Colts, something like that. You're with teams in the back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, man.
It's unbelievable. I know.
So it's not your garden variety team either. It means you're going to be working in the February, my friend.
I know. Yeah, I had to clear that out. I'm okay with that. I'm willing to stick around for a few extra reps into February as long as we can make another Super Bowl trip happen. I will be happy to be there.
So I got to ask you this then, since Kelce was in it, the Happy Gilmore 2 that dropped today on Netflix. It's available. I haven't had time to sit there and watch it, obviously. Have you, by chance, taken a viewing of Happy Gilmore 2 yet, or are you saving that?
I have not yet. I was thinking about cracking it open tonight because here's the spot that I'm in. I saw the beginning of the clip with Travis Kelce, and I made the choice to not watch the entire clip because I got about 5 seconds in. I thought, you know what? I think this deserves the full context of the movie. So that's the film I have not yet reviewed. But I think it might happen soon. I'm fascinated to see what it looks like on a variety of levels.
What is it, a big day for golf? Wouldn't Caddyshack put it like 42 years ago or 45 years ago today? Something like that. So it's a golf movie day for sure. I don't know if that was a coincidence there or it just happened. But back to Chiefs camp, obviously day 4 in the books. They put the pads on Sunday, day off tomorrow. It's going to be fun. I'll ask you this question because Rob and I discussed him. It's Tyquan Thornton. And the reason I brought him up is Nate Taylor, of course, that comes on this show, our Chiefs insider and now at ESPN. He thinks it's a lock to make the team. And he's impressed with him and what he's doing. Andy Reid's talked about him at minicamp several times in glowing fashion, and he didn't always do that with every player. I mean, you got to earn that. Patrick Mahomes has talked about him. We are talking about a second-round pick, picked 50 a couple of years ago. It's still 24 years old from the Patriots, who did run a 4-2-1 until he adjusted it to 4-2-8 at the combine. But, you know, can Tyquan make this team, Josh?
Well, I spend a whole lot of time talking to Nate, and I hadn't heard the L word yet. Lock.
Well, I don't know if he necessarily said that. I'll play it for if you want me to. You want to hear what he said?
Oh, and you know I like to hear Nate when I get a chance.
All right. Well, this is what he said.
Trey Smith's got to become Joe Tooney. That's exactly what he has to
become. Not on that. Wrong cut.
He's right about that, too,
He's right on that. Here's Nate on Tyquan. But, Nate's right on everything. Here's his thoughts on Tyquan.
The biggest winner so far. If you were to give this person immunity for Monday or Tuesday, that would be Tyquan Thornton. It's a wrap, guys. Healthy. He keeps playing the way he's been playing at practice. He is on the roster. He is a legitimate outside receiver. He is, and I've asked, you know, I think they add Tyquan Thornton to the roster in, like, December. You know, he's not going to play. But the whole point was, like, can you be better than Justin Watson? Or can you be a different version of Justin Watson from what we've seen over the last couple of years? Well, through the first week of camp, he's proven it. I don't need to see any more outside of just, hey, let's see it in the pads. Let's see it in the preseason game. You're a veteran receiver. Mahomes, I think, really, really likes him.
So he didn't use the word lock, Josh, but he didn't use the word rap.
It's a rat. No, you represented him totally fairly there. Okay. He has no case to press against you. I think he's saying that. And look, Nate there, of course, is, you know, he's pretty good at his job by and
very
large.
Good.
So not a surprise. But the thing that he mentioned there that stuck with me, and it's the reason that I had Tyquan Thornton right on the right side of the bubble, or really maybe in one of those final wide receiver battles, maybe it's with Nico Remigio. We'll come back to some things Dave Tobe said today. But Thornton spending a good portion of last season with the Chiefs on the practice squad, I think it's a big deal. I mean, not a big deal in the sense of winning Super Bowls, as this team tends to do, but a big deal in terms of having an advantage over Elijah Badger as an undrafted free agent, or even, you know, Sky Moore. Obviously, he's been around for quite a while, but it seems like his future is probably pretty short. The other guys you might be looking at for those final spots, I've been giving Thornton just that narrow, narrow edge, and I really like what Nate said about, hey, can you come in and be a different or better version of Justin Watson, who they obviously let go. Watson played a ton of snaps for this team and is actually leaving space. Now, of course, you hope Hollywood takes a ton of that space that wasn't there last year. You hope Rashee Rice plays a lot of snaps that he wasn't able to play last year. But I really did like the little bit of a gamble, a very small one, on bringing Thornton in mid-late season last year, getting him acclimated. He has this entire offseason, a little bit of a head start to get involved. If he can be one of those guys, the kind of sacrificial outside receiver that the Chiefs tend to play quite a bit of, I really like his chances, not just to make the team, but to do not wide receiver 1 through 4 kind of stuff. But if Rashee Rice misses time and you need somebody who can go line up outside and just run some snaps, eat some routes, I'd be thrilled for Thornton to be able to be one of those guys.
See, and that's what the reason we're talking about him, because, you know, the main story from the Chiefs when you see national publications talk about training camp or whatever, CBS had something today, you know, it's the wide open offense. And last year, the Chiefs were second to last in air yards, 25 yards or more down the field. So, and they've been talking about it. Mahomes is talking about it. He was talking about it with Kay Adams on her podcast. He talked about it in minicamp, throwing the football downfield. Andy Reid talked about it in minicamp that it's different this year because everybody's back. Like, everybody's back. So he was putting installs in still throughout the season, you know, just till guys got really acclimated with the system. Well, they're all back, except for Jalen Royals that obviously, and he talked about him really getting things together and putting it together. But, you know, you look at how many receivers they're going to keep. And if Rice is suspended, what are you going to do? And who's going to be on the end? Because right now, when Rob and I did it, we had Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, obviously Hollywood Brown, Jalen Royals, Juju. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got Nico, which you'll talk about him in just a second, and how much they really like him in the return game. But then there's Nico, Tyquan, Elijah Badger, Sky Moore even. So there's a little bit of competition there at the end of the rope if they keep 7 receivers.
And I think if you assume that Rashee Rice is going to get suspended for some chunk of the start of the season, which I think is the expectation as of right now, you really do, I mean, you have 6 receivers with all 7 of the guys that you just mentioned, and then you have to make a choice when Rashee Rice comes back. So if it's 2 games, 4 games, whatever, if Rice is suspended before the year begins, before they have to go through roster cutdowns, you can keep all 6 of those guys who I would agree with you and Rob, Worthy, Hollywood, Royals, Juju, Thornton, and Remigio. I think Nico's got a little bit of an edge over Sky Moore unless he has a really good camp in preseason. Even then, I don't know. He's been on the team for a while. But I really do think those 6 are all in really good positions. And then, as we both alluded to, Dave Tobe talked about Nico again today. It seems like he's far and away their number one choice as a returner. And then you also heard Tobe talk a little bit about Thornton maybe trying to do some of those Justin Watson special teams things, being a gunner in punt coverage and being able to have some speed and some physicality there. So I really do think that room's going to come together pretty nicely. I think you just hope that you can get Elijah Badger to a practice squad and then let him get up to speed that way. And then I heard a little bit of you guys talking about Royals specifically near the top of the show. I remain skeptical that a rookie is going to get a major workload. Let's say it is in Rashee Rice's absence for a few weeks at the beginning of the season. It's really hard for a rookie to come in and immediately have an impact in Andy Reid's offense as a receiver. We saw Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy both do it later in their rookie years, even though they did it in huge ways. Maybe Royals is just smart enough. He is just versatile enough to be able to do some of the stuff that they were asking Rice to do. Also, a thing from Nate yesterday talked about Royals being in for Rashee Rice with the first team for a few of those reps. Right now, you're just stress testing the rookies. You're seeing how much they can take on in terms of the playbook. You're seeing how comfortable they can get in the offense quickly. But if he can continue to prove that, all three of us have chimed in on now, I really like where the wide receiver group sort of lands for this season and beyond, because it's a very young group as well.
And especially with the receivers and how they're going to go and go downfield. And we all know that all this won't matter if Mahomes doesn't have the time to throw down the field.
Right.
Again, mentioned the air yards, second to last, like six times over 25 yards or more. And it comes down to the left side. It comes down to Kingsley at guard if he makes it and is the starter for this team. I'm sure they would love that because – and I liked Kingsley coming out of draft too. I mean, a lot of people, you know, thought maybe in first rounder for this guy because he's huge dude and he's very extremely versatile. I mean, he can get out of the pocket and move and do a lot of things that guards can do, and that's one really good positive for Kingsley. But what about Simmons? Because – I was looking at, like, we were talking about Brett Veach's best moves, and clearly I think, you know, grabbing Butker off the Panthers practice squad would be move number one for me. I clearly liked, you know, Anger for Charvarius Ward and various things. But if Josh Simmons ends up panning out, this might go at the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, there is that asterisk, and I mean, you've been on it. We've all been talking about it, obviously, since the draft, right? It was just, hey, Josh Simmons's tape was incredible. What's going on inside of his knee? Well, now we're here in late July, and he's the offensive tackle of this group, of the top three tackles in this group. Josh Simmons is the guy that you may have the fewest injury questions about right now, which seems crazy considering where we were in late April. But I think that's a testament to Josh Simmons throughout the rehab process. It's a testament to the Chiefs medical staff for getting that intel, being able to move back a spot and still get him at 32. If Josh Simmons is the guy we saw him in college, it's the best move that Brett Veach has made as a general manager, because he wasn't a GM when he drafted Mahomes. Like, that's it, though. I mean, if you find because that's Josh Simmons' ceiling, right? A franchise left tackle that can be a guy that you park and play for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a lofty ceiling, and Josh Simmons could get near but not to the ceiling, and it would still be an incredible boon for this offense. But like you said, with Simmons and Kingsley, two young guys who haven't done it at the pro level at those positions, and obviously Kingsley's year last year was tumultuous when he was on the field at tackle, kind of set this whole thing off, this entire domino chain. But I do think Kingsley has an incredible skill set to be a athletic, moving, mauling guard. Him and Trey Smith, bookending Creed Humphrey in that interior, would be a blast if Kingsley can do it. But I'm just going to keep saying if until he shows it, because this is still a little bit of projection on really three spots on the line, as long as you're kind of looking at Jalen Moore and where he slots in. But I think best case scenario, you hope it's Simmons and Kingsley at left tackle and left guard. If those guys truly win the job and not just because of other people's injuries, that's the best case in the Chiefs' mind, or at least in my mind, that's the best case for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and of course, Jalen Moore, I mean, they really liked him because they went out and snagged him, and yep. You know, the salary cap worked out for the Chiefs. They expected $270 million to be in $279 million on that. But Jalen Moore, you know, he was recruited to Western Michigan as a tight end. So that really shows his versatility. He slid into tackles, the left tackle there, and he can play right tackle. He's done both. And he put him in San Francisco. He backed up Trent Williams. But, you know, there's another guy right there. Even though it's a two-year contract, it's kind of like prove it. Like, he's out there to make money. And that's one thing I like about some of these Veach moves, you know, getting guys that are hungry to make money after the season. And, like, Jalen Moore will have something to say about this, too, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I think, again, as long as there's health and as long as you're picking winners and not winners by default, and again, no shade to Kingsley last year, but like Wandy Morris wasn't fully right during training camp. Kingsley ends up getting that job, and in retrospect, you wonder, what if Wandy Morris was healthy? Or did they have the exact right plan for Kingsley? Would they have brought in a veteran behind him if they knew Wandy was going to be a little bit banged up? All these things that we just can't know. Well, what we know now is that you could have Jalen Moore this year on about an $11 million salary cap hit. And that's fine. If he is your swing tackle and you have Josh Simmons coming off the knee injury, and obviously signing him before the draft, so I was glad they signed Jalen Moore when they did. I'm still glad they have Jalen Moore on this team, because you had Juwan Taylor missing time with this knee stuff. You have Josh Simmons coming back from his own knee issue. Having some insurance there is not a bad thing for $11 million against the cap. Maybe Jalen Moore is also your left guard insurance. I think Wanya Morris also could kick in a little bit, and Hunter Norzad is out there. Mike Caliendo was the guy actually starting at left guard after Tui moved out the tackle last year. So they've got options on the interior, but the Chiefs talk about it all the time. You want your best five offensive linemen out there. I think it's wise to have Simmons just working at left tackle for the most part, because you know that's where you want him to be. But I think the best odds for the 2026 starting right tackle on this team is Jalen Moore. Juwan Taylor, this will be the last year under his current contract that he's here, for as far as we could project. If he moves on after this season, then Moore is stepping into a starting role and in a true contract year next season. And it's an 18-ish, $19 million cap hit. Totally reasonable for your starting right tackle if that's what Moore is next year. So last year, I think we saw that the Chiefs suffer from not having quite enough redundancies at the tackle position. This year, they have a smorgasbord of three NFL-caliber tackles, which is a good problem to have at this point.
Talking to Josh Briscoe, one of our Chiefs insiders here at 96.5 The Fan. He's also the anchor on the Chiefs Radio Network as well. One more offensive question for you. Look at the defense. The running back situation. It is interesting to me what they're going to do, because Andy Reid has always kept a fullback until he didn't. And then he had the times where he didn't have one. And Carson still, he's, you know, the fullback. We know he can play tailback and do different things, but fullback's his deal. Elijah Mitchell comes in, actually more guaranteed money than Kareem Hunt got when they brought him back. And you got Breshard that they drafted, and then you've got Isaiah Pacheco here. So kind of an interesting dynamic. Going to be hard for all those guys to be on the roster at the same time.
Yeah, it's a fascinating group to me, in part because it's such a diverse group of running back skill sets. None of those top five guys are anything like each other. I mean, just in terms of the things they do best and the things that maybe you question. If I had to project it here, then this is, again, we're talking about running backs before the pads come on, so
sure.
Nobody bring these notes back to me in 2 weeks. Let's see how it shakes out. But if I had to tell you right now, I'd say, yeah, I think the top four, and I think they carry four running backs. I think it's Pacheco, Hunt, Mitchell, and Smith, and those are the four guys that make the active roster. Carson Steele is a practice squad superhero. The second that somebody gets banged up, he's the guy you call up. I'm totally cool with that. I really like Carson Steele. I think everybody kind of does, but I think when you're trying to figure out who has the most juice for your actual running back rotation, it's those other four guys. I think Pacheco is in line not to be a bell cow, but to be the first guy up in this offense. That's my expectation, at least to start the season. Kareem Hunt gets to go into an actual, like, lesser used, no 27 carry games or whatever his high was when he rejoined the team last year. A short yardage, smaller role for him. You hope Elijah Mitchell can stay healthy, be explosive, catch passes, have some speed out of the backfield. Breshard Smith, you maybe hope can do some of that as well. Of course, he's the rookie you're bringing up to speed, and a guy who I mean, look, man, I love a 1 year removed from playing wide receiver running back prospect. That's right up
my
alley.
It's the wheel route, Josh. You're going to see the wheel route for like a 35-yard touchdown. Guarantee it.
And I can't wait. I love that stuff. So I certainly hope that that's the case. And then, yeah, I think Steele's just kind of on the wrong side of the numbers game there. But I think everybody, those other four, with health, I think those four are all making the 53.
And looking at the defense, obviously, you know, you got a Minnehue. When I talk about, you know, guys going out there for the prove a deal to make money going forward, you know, can he have a big year this year? Certainly, you know, you put up big numbers when you have Chris Jones still on the team, and yep, you can put up numbers there. Look at the draft. Ashton Gelati led college football in pressures last year. 2 years ago, he led the ACC in sacks. He can get to the quarterback. Omar Norman Lott, even though not a starter, his last year was on a rotation because they used the six-man rotation in Tennessee, but he had the best quarterback win rate. So you see, they've got guys that can get to the quarterback. They slid to 18th in sacks last year. They were number two the previous 2 years when they happened to win the Super Bowl both times as well. But when you look at this rotation, what they got on defensive line and edge, how confident are you for the Chiefs to get to the quarterback?
I feel a lot better than I did this time last year for a couple of reasons, but I'm glad you mentioned last year, because that was really the part of the entire team that I feel like went kind of under the radar for a few weeks. We spent a few weeks talking about it, and then it kind of, I don't know if it improved when Aminahu kind of started rolling back. He was never, you know, 100% the guy that you wanted him to be, because he was still very fresh off of a serious injury. But the pass rush, and specifically getting pressure with four, that was one of the biggest issues this team had last year. But then by playoff time and everything, I think you started to see them being able to atone for some of that. Spags gets a little spagsier, and you don't think about it as much. But I think their offseason plans this year underline the fact that they want to be a lot better at that this season. Charles Aminahu being fully healthy now, having this entire offseason healthy, it's going to be his first time playing a full season with this team. I think Charles Aminahu, and maybe the rotation of it all is the thing that holds this back, I think Charles Aminahou is going to have a career year. I think he's the most underrated player on this defense, and I really hope, no offense at all to Mike Dana, who's a extremely good rotational defensive end to have, who can hold that edge. I'm happy for Mike Dana to be this team's DE3 this season, but I really hope that Charles Aminahou is the one starting opposite George Karlaftis. I'd like to see Aminahou get a lot more snaps. And then you have everything rotating around Chris Jones in the middle. I'm very interested to see what Jerry Tillery does. You mentioned Omar Norman Lott. I was kind of ready to not redshirt him by any means. That's an exaggeration. But I was ready to have him on a slower development plan. He's getting some early work out there with the ones, and Spags doesn't tend to just give those reps away. No. So that's kind of interesting. And it's another year for Felix. It's another year. Again, you look at, I really like Ashton Gelati. I don't know how he's getting snaps. I'm not sure how Felix is getting snaps in a major way, just because there are professional football players at the top of this depth chart. And frankly, there are professional football players in the middle of this depth chart now on this defensive line. I'm a little bit worried about who's behind Mike Pinnell, just in terms of your like run stuffing defensive tackle, not so much in the pass rush. Cause you're going to put Chris Jones and Tillery out there, or Jones and Norman Lott out there together on 3rd and 8. Fine by me. That sounds like a great time. But yeah, I do like where this rotation is headed, and I really hope everyone just stays healthy enough to show all the juice that I think that group can bring this year.
It's one of Chiefs insiders, Josh Briscoe, also the pre-halftime post for Chiefs Radio Network, the anchor over there. He'll get started in earnest here really soon for the season. So good stuff from Josh. Hey, by the way, is it going to rain, man? It looks like they get cloudy or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking out my windows here. The water droplets haven't fallen, okay. But it does look like it's primed for it. Okay. So grab your umbrellas, everybody. May be a wet one.
And grab your popcorn and watch Happy Gilmore too, my friend.
Yes, and apparently your honey. Again, I didn't watch the entire Travis Kelce clip. I have some questions.
Yeah, the honey thing. I saw that. There's questions. Thanks a lot, Josh.
You want to recreate that for social later?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll do it for Rob. Let Rob do it.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, take care, Josh. You know about the honey, right, Rob? You've seen the clips on social media with the honey?
I actually have done a good job avoiding any and all spoilers when it comes to Happy Gilmore 2, but so I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm kind of happy I don't know what you're talking about.
Good stuff there from Josh Briscoe right there. You'll hear him all year long at this time right here on the drive. We're at about 3:15 or so. Coming up next, though, looks like is the SEC going to add two more from the ACC? Could this crush the ACC with these two teams that they come? And Nate Taylor has a particular take about a town that's in the Big 12. Do we agree with it or not? Next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Josh Vernier will join us at the top of the hour. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton producing the operation. So the big media day kickoff has basically been going around the country with all the college football teams, Big 12 a couple weeks ago, the SEC during All-Star break last week, the ACC going on now. Belichick up there, it is weird still seeing him back in college football. But the latest buzz, Rob, has two teams possibly eyeing the SEC if the SEC would make a move, or if conference realignment, would make a move, the ACC. Here's the one thing. North Carolina was a founding member of the ACC. That would be a big move, but by all indications, they want to move, and I'm sure Clemson would not mind being in the Southeastern Conference, but I know the ACC right now is sitting with an uneven number. They're sitting there with 17 teams in the ACC, but we're starting to see the rise of jumbo conferences now, as you have, but UNC and Clemson would make sense for the SEC. They kind of go out and get whoever they want. It's kind of the end-all, be-all to be in that conference. In the ACC, had to grab a couple former Pac-12 teams to be in their conference. I think it would crush them, man, because Clemson's the bell cow in that conference as far as football. They're the ones that make the college football playoffs last year. I think they're going to make it again with Cade Klubnik at quarterback again this year, and Dabo knows how to win. But if UNC and Clemson go together, and you know what, Belichick and Dabo, I think, are boys, man. They're friends, and stuff like that. But how long is Belichick going to be there? I don't know. But do you see a situation that those two go to the SEC? Because I would say when there's smoke, there's fire. Don't forget when Oklahoma and Texas jumped from the Big 12 to the SEC, there was no smoke, there was no fire. They just did it.
So here's the thing, and I've read the article, I believe it was on 3Sports, talked about the...
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Exit fees in the ACC basically disappear after 2030. So I do think after 2030, both those teams are eyeing for a way out of the ACC. My question becomes, what does college sports look like in 2030? Like,
completely different.
I do not think that Clemson and UNC have plans of staying in the ACC based on the way it's set now after 2030. And we know that number because of the exit fees. But Bink, if it was COVID times, we were doing the show and I asked you, hey, what's college sports going to look like in 5 years? I don't think you would have had Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. I don't know you would have had Rutgers and Washington in the same conference. I don't know you would have told me that athletes are going to get paid, no problem, NIL. We wouldn't know what NIL is back then. So I think that 2030 is a big part of this reporting because I don't know what the college sports looks like in 2030. Do we still have conferences? Have they broken away? Well, have they had their own group? I don't even begin to guess to know because I wouldn't have known 5 years ago.
Well, you've heard the talk. It's just very talk. Remember Big Ten and SEC forming their own deal, remember? Well, the Big Ten and SEC have kind of been in cahoots on a lot of different things. Keep in mind, the Big Ten has 18 teams. The SEC has 16 teams. If they were to grab two more, they'd be right there with the Big Ten as far as both having 18 teams. But you're right. Neil has changed the game, man. And I just go to the NFL, what the Bengals are dealing with Shamar Stewart, the only first-round picks not signed, right? Because there's talk. Like if he goes back to A&M, which I don't think he'll go back there and play. Does he work out with them? Yeah. But here's the thing. He could sit out this draft. And here's the misnomer. Yeah, the Bengals have his rights to week 10. But if he goes back in the draft, the Bengals can't draft him again. And not only that, he goes right back in. He's only 21 years old. And not only that, 21 years old with over $1 million in the bank. That is different than 21-year-olds joining the draft and joining the NFL a couple years ago, right? Some of these guys have $1 million, $2 million, $3 million already in the bank. That's why name, image, and likeness has changed things. So, again, it has changed the landscape in the NFL, college football. You know, Jim Nagy ran the Senior Bowl. He's now the GM of the Oklahoma Sooners because they used to not have GMs in college football. Now they do.
And I think to me it's more than just NIL, and I agree with you on all that. I just feel like, and maybe this is, I love college sports. I actually think I might like college sports more than pro sports at times. There's just something great about watching college athletics. But man, there's, to worry about what the ACC and realignment might look like in 3, 4, 5 years seems like a foolish errand to me, because I don't even begin to know how college sports will operate. I don't understand how college sports will operate. It could be a pro league by then. It could be minor leagues. It could be the group of five is not part of the power five. There's too much up in the air for me to really sweat this. But if college sports stays stagnant, I think in 5 years, UNC and Clemson are out, which would spell disaster for the ACC, and I think you then would see a power two kind of emerge.
Yeah, because then, you know, NC State's going to throw a fit. One of the state schools is going to the SEC, so they're going to throw their fit, and who knows where it ends, but the Big Ten would be matched with 18 teams from the SEC. We'll see where it goes. It would bring the ACC down to 15 teams, as they have that uneven number at 17 teams. Now, you brought this up to me, Rob. I did not hear it. Have you heard Nate Taylor that was on? We played Nate Taylor, obviously.
This.
His football takes. We love his football takes. He was on with Cody and Gold, but you haven't heard this. These are his thoughts on – they asked him about Manhattan, Kansas, I guess.
I believe somehow Manhattan, Kansas came up on Cody and Gold today.
Okay. So they asked Nate Taylor about Manhattan, Kansas, and this is what he had to say.
I don't go to Manhattan. I'm doing just fine. Why would I want to go to Manhattan? Now, hey, guys. Hey, Manhattan, it's fine. Here's the problem, guys. I didn't do this. This happened on its own, okay? What we're not going to do is probably go to Manhattan. If I had any say in it.
Wow, man. Why the discourse with Manhattan? I get it. Everybody's got their opinions. Everybody's got their places. I'm sure if I asked Rob, he'd be all Lawrence, no Manhattan, no Columbia, no nothing. He would take Lawrence over everything. I don't think that's a stretch, is it?
I didn't mind my trips to Manhattan. I would never go there if it wasn't for my team playing there, but that seemed like the epitome of a stray.
Wow, Manhattan caught that one. And I disagree with that. I love Manhattan. I actually do. Well, I was sitting in here with C-Dot. We were doing a beer segment or something, and we were asking about best tacos, and someone said Toto's Tacos in Wamego, Kansas, which is out there by Manhattan. I got the car, went to Wamego to have some Toto's. Then Carrington did. I called and said, hey, Carrington, these are great. He goes and drives down there for it. But Manhattan, Kansas, with the breweries, with all the restaurants, that town has totally changed since Bill Snyder. Did you ever read, like, Sam Mellinger wrote something back before he's, you know, Royals PR doing the Star? Like, about all things that happened in Manhattan because of Bill Snyder. They had, like, what, 3 hotels before Bill Snyder? And there was talks about him dropping D1 football and going down to FCS. I mean, just now it's, like, over 18 hotels there, the restaurants. I mean, he literally transformed it. I can't name another college coach that transformed his town more than Bill Snyder. I actually like Manhattan, Kansas. I don't have a problem with it at all.
The couple times I've been to Manhattan, I've had no issue when I'm there. It, again, I'm not just going there for vibes, but I'm there. I watch my team play. The people are friendly. I get to watch KU. And then
To you in a KU shirt?
They are more friendly there than the people in Columbia have been when I'm in
really?
Columbia. Yeah.
No. You know, I'm still wanting to do that beer test with you in Carrington, though. Get some Lawrence breweries and some Columbia breweries. Don't tell you what you're drinking in Columbia. Blind taste test, too, so you don't know what's from Columbia and what's from Lawrence, right? Put you on the spot, man. Columbia beer is really good, man. I know Lawrence is, too. And now Manhattan's trying to get in the picture with the breweries. Manhattan Brewing Company is very good, by the way. Very good. Anyway, I digress. But it was Nate's thoughts on Manhattan. I love it. I love these towns here for college football. I think it's great. Coming up next, Josh Vernier will talk Royals. Trade deadline's coming right up. Just 6 more games till that. What's he expect from the Royals? And what's he think of the Royals' recent surge since the All-Star break? Next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up.
Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.